Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm a little exhausted, but I'm good. Yeah.
All right. The new norm, right?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately.
Well, I'm glad that we found some time to be together.
Me too. I need this time. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. What are we talking about today?
Yeah, let me, I'm just grabbing my pen really quickly. I cannot write and talk at the same time. I want to make sure I'm ready. Okay, so last call we left off, and I was assuming that this next call would be about a conversation with Ben and really about relationship with executive directors, things like that. Actually, I think the step before that is I would really love some time to reflect on what I've learned so far in 2019 and what priorities need to be for 2020 for staff formation and for executive director formation, and then kind of how's my conversation with him within that framework.
Okay.
So I think success at the end of this call would look like me having more clarity about a few key priorities for 2020.
Okay. So just to check for understanding, we're going to go through some reflection on 2019 and then be aiming towards identifying some priorities for 2020 based on that reflection. And you'd like to take away two or three 2020 priorities.
Exactly.
Okay. Great. Well, get us started, if you will, then. When you think about reflecting on 2019, what are the one or two questions that would be most helpful to facilitate you reflecting the way you'd like to this morning?
I think one question that's really important is what I've learned about how organizers learn.
Okay.
And then another one is, given where we need to go, look at me, I'm already in next steps. Hold on, Ashlyn, you're trying to reflect here. reflection. Yeah, about how organizers currently understand their role.
Okay, I'm writing these down.
Yep.
Understand.
And executive directors. Yeah, organizers and executive directors.
And the directors, okay. How the directors understand their own role, or how the directors are thinking about the organizers' roles?
Their own role.
Okay. Organizers and directors. All right, well, let's get started with those then. What have you learned about how organizers learn over this past year?
Yeah. I've learned that organizers don't learn by sitting in a room and pontificating. Organizers know how to be performative. They really do. And large spaces are not a good assessment of their work. What I have found is incredibly helpful is, one, cohort spaces. I think cohort spaces, so smaller group, deep team building, kind of like team identity spaces, those work. not only do they work, but I think they are transformational for people. And the reason for that is the same reason belong circles are transformational for people. It's like when people get into deep relationships with each other, they transform. It's like
Right.
human spirit. And so, yes, this is, okay, good. So part of what I've learned is that having people share space together really matters for their learning. It really matters. I don't
in
think...
In small groups.
In small groups, yes, thank you, in small groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that online, one of the things we've been thinking about is, does an online platform need to be a priority for 2020?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think yet that our organizers are ready for an online curriculum, and the reason for that is, online, I think, is a great space to learn technical skills, to learn technical information. I don't think so far, I do not yet believe, I'm open to it, but I don't yet believe that online can, subsidize in-person space.
Mm.
And our organizers are not ready for technical skills yet. They're almost, they're still in a formation orientation space.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing that I've learned is that organizers are terrible at asking to be developed. And it's one of, so what that means is, they don't always know how to use me or my role. They don't
mm-hmm.
know they can kind of call upon. Sorry, I'm all over the place. Well, whatever, I guess that's the point of this. I've also learned that organizers, they repeat spaces that they've been in. So the spaces that we create for organizers need to look like what we want them to replicate at home. So it's another
spaces,
reason.
Tell me more about that. I'm not sure if I'm following that piece.
Yep. So, for instance, cohorts, I think, mm-hmm. are a good example because we want them to replicate that kind of rigor and deep team building at home
mm-hmm.
with their teams. When we have these like really large kind of plenary type spaces,
right,
that also models for organizers,
right,
you should be at the front. So how organizers learn, I've also learned they kind of can't, for the most part, they're still in a stage of replicating what
sure.
they see. And so I think that means Pico California spaces, even ones that are not for organizers, like this upcoming leadership assembly or the Belong Symposium, or I think just being really conscious of how much time we have of staff up front.
Mm-hmm.
And as we build out, an independent organization and get this kind of guiding council or whatever it's going to be, the governance for Ben and Joseph, making sure that those people start being at the front during events.
Mm-hmm.
What else have I learned about how organizers learn? They can't learn more than one thing at a time.
Can I ask a question? What have you learned about how they learn best with you? So are they able to learn from you at a distance? Does it have to be FaceTime?
That's really helpful. No, like people who I'm in coaching relationship with, it's all phone. It's mm-hmm. not FaceTime. And that works really, really well.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's a structure of every 2 weeks, an hour on the phone. And then I spend, you know, at least a full day shadowing them, like once a quarter. That
okay.
works well. Yeah, this is good. So also another thing that works well is like a layered approach. So kind of cohort layered with coaching, layered with shadowing, layered with et cetera, et cetera, so that it feels like they're having a wraparound formation experience. It also, I mean, this is obvious, but I guess worth saying that organizations that have a strong staff development culture, they're like the dream. Because they go home from cohort or you finish a coaching call and there's an infrastructure to support it. Federations that don't have that, it's possible, but it's what's tough about it is they can't focus all their energy on organizing because they're always having to, like, you know, strategize to figure out how to get what they need from the organization. You know what else I've learned is that you put organizers of a tenure in the same room together for long enough and they can start to call each other's bullshit. It's amazing. It's wonderful. So last cohort, intermediate cohort, which this would have been their third time together, one of them said to the other, yo, you've been saying the same thing the last three times. Like, how is your work different? You know, and they're just able to call each other's stuff, and it's much more effective. That's the other thing I've learned is organizers learn from their peers. Organizers don't like authority. They do not like hierarchy, and I represent both. So, like, we're in good relationship, but we're in good relationship in part because I've created spaces where they learn from each other. They all think they have the most to teach, right? Like, it's why I love organizers, because they're such misfits. But that's, yes. You know what? I think that is the most important learning, actually, is organizers learn from each other.
Okay. Organizers learn from each other. They don't like authority or structure with respect to their learning environment.
Yep.
Which explains some of the potential disconnect that you've referred to with regards to if and how people are using you or not.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
that feels good.
Let me just revisit some of that in a summary. So when you reflected on what you've learned about how organizers learn, you noted that organizers learn best from one another, from their peer group. They don't lack authority or hierarchical structure. And you noted that this is potentially part of the disconnect for you being able to help them as much as you could. That they don't learn best by sitting in a room, in large groups talking. They learn best by doing. They learn well in small groups that are in person. Sort of, you noted an example being the belong circles. Organizers aren't ready to do learning online at this stage. They're terrible at asking for development information, which might be related to that barrier we noted initially about them not wanting to ask someone above them in a structure to do it. But they're not doing that. We want to train them with methods we want them to use at home. Rather than training in methods that they can't replicate at home or wouldn't. And then, you know, some of that had to do with being careful about how much whoever's leading or facilitating something is getting front time. And that, one of the things that came to my mind was just recognizing that large group meetings are good at some things. They're not good at everything. And if that's true of any group gathering size, right? So small groups are good at some things, but they're not good at everything. So just learning how to think tactically about when is the time for a large group to accomplish something versus a smaller group. But back to your point, the organizers are going to be learning best in small groups, and that they're not great at learning more than one thing at a time. That phone time with you works, followed by shadowing. You follow that up with this idea of a layered approach to training them work. So some sort of a cohort experience, then a follow-up coaching experience with you, and then followed with some shadowing. So basically circling back to the same learning experience until it's been layered in a number of different ways. And then you said it's best that the federation has a culture of staff formation. So you have organizers in multiple federations that you are trying to help train and form. And it sounds like, you know, which makes sense. When their own organization has a culture of staff formation, they have a better chance of success. And then lastly, gathering experienced organizers together helps because they have accountability and transparency. They know the game. They know themselves. They know each other. And they can challenge one another to grow more in that setting. So those, does that sound like that captures
yes.
what you've learned about them?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's so helpful.
Okay, good. Good, good. So let's go ahead. And, well, what would you like to do? Would you like to go ahead and tackle your second reflective question, or would you like to, while we're in this one, move it to the 2020 priorities because all the learnings are fresh?
What was my other question?
Your other question was how organizers and directors currently understand their roles.
We should do that one.
Okay, so before we move into
yep.
identifying some priorities. Okay, so then we'll come back to that. So let's do that one. What have you learned about how organizers and directors currently understand their roles? And by directors, you're talking about Ben and Joseph.
No, Federation Executive Directors.
Federation Directors, perfect, okay. So let's do that. What have you learned about that?
Okay. Organizers have become clear in the last year, way more clear, that their role is to identify leaders, that leaders do the organizing. So that we are about formation, leadership development, et cetera, et cetera. They're good on that. They're not totally clear yet what that means, but they know it's what they're supposed to be doing. It's still a little mystical, but they understand it's their job. What they do not understand, to identify leaders and to have development plans for them to step into greater public life. Yep. But that it is not the organizer's job to run campaigns. That's what leaders do. Organizers prepare leaders to run campaigns. So that our job is to work through people. We never get to skip that. What they do not know and has to be a priority for 2020, like has to be non-negotiable, is that we organize institutions. Now, what does that mean? organizers need much more support in understanding the role of culture change, of narrative, and of making meaning work. It's the more meta perspective. Organizers, I feel like, often they're so busy looking at what's up close. They're like looking at the sidewalk. They don't see they're bumping into a tree. And our faith leaders, for the most part, you know, are thinking, you know, with their heads so high up, they don't see the pavement. And so how does an organizer really move culture, move narrative, move making meaning work? And that is very new. and I think requires a centeredness, a groundedness, a confidence, and a curiosity, like a real, like a real growth orientation from organizers that, we don't yet have a culture of in our federations. Some do, but that kind of leading with growth, leading with vulnerability, leading with curiosity leads us to the next point of what executive directors understand their role to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a bit of a split. But I do think that specifically Zach and Trina and often Gabby think that their job is to know the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And that their job is to run a nonprofit organization whose brand and livelihood is above everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not know that there is a shared orientation of servant leadership. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that is where, you know, 2020, I feel like these two points really need to come into synergy. Like, whatever the answer is, we just all need to have the same answer about there needs to be a real intention about the kind of, like, pillar values that each of our organizations are built upon.
Mm-hmm.
And are some of those, you know, curiosity before being definitive or whatever that looks like, right? So, mm-hmm. for instance, we're clear that race is at the center. We're clear again, we weren't, but we're clear again that faith is at the center.
Mm-hmm.
Is a growth orientation at the center.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yes, every executive director would agree that we work through institutions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they would not identify their role as spending time making sure that their staff know how to do it.
Hmm. Say that again, would you?
Yeah. They would all say our role is to work through institutions. We're institution-based. But they would not say their role is to make sure their organizers know how to do that.
Mm. Mm.
Like somehow organizers just like know how to transform the Catholic Church.
Right.
It's crazy to say it out loud, but it is how our executive directors operate. So, yeah.
So they would agree that their role is to work through institutions, but they don't have a plan for being good at that? Is that what you're saying? Or they don't value it? What's the missing piece? They don't know how, or they don't see
it? They don't teach it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't teach it.
To their organizers.
To their organizers. So they say, go build a team in First Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
And then the organizer says, how do I do that?
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, we'll go talk to the faith leader and ask for names. Well, how do you talk to a faith leader? Why are you asking for names? What are you, this is what it is. Executive directors do not understand their role as being teachers.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. Managers, but not teachers.
Mm-hmm. I'm making notes here as we go.
Yep. And I don't, and back to the point of like people, organizers replicate what they experience.
Right.
They need to be in learning relationship and growth relationship with their executive director and with their institution that they're hired from, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that they can co-replicate it. And right mm-hmm. now, it's not congruent, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let me come back to you with some of what I hear and see how it sets with you. Your second reflective question was what have I learned about how organizers and directors currently understand their roles? And when you unpacked that, you made some of these notes. Most federations don't have a handle on the role, so the directors and the organizers themselves seem to be adrift. You know, they're kind of doing what maybe comes natural to them rather than what would be strategically best for the outcomes they're looking for, right? So you said organizers have become clear that this past year, that their role is to identify leaders and to have development plans for them. So you feel like that got through at least to the organizers about their role. You mentioned that it's not the organizer's job to run campaigns, that we work through people. So is that something you feel like is clear for them as well?
Yep.
Okay, at the organizer's level. You would say that as organizers, you're basically working to move institutions through their leaders rather than just leaders or campaigns. So the meta perspective you talked about, and you noted that every executive director would agree that their role is to work through institutions, but they don't teach it. So executive directors are managing, but they're not teaching. They're giving the what to their staff, but not the how.
That's right. Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
So if you were to, great reflection. That's a lot of meat on the bone there. There's lots of stuff that can be super informative as you decide to prioritize your approach in 2020. How does that start to shape then?
Yeah.
Let's brainstorm some priorities. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay.
Which one you want to take first? Or do you want to pull them apart or push them together at this point? Are you basically looking
let's be messy and push them together. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so what are Ashlyn's 2020 priorities in light of her reflection?
Yep. So all right, let me just kind of like close my eyes and take a minute and go to my imagination space. So on the organizer end, cohorts need to remain. So a priority for 2020 is organizer cohorts. The question in that I want to come back to but not answered yet is there a specialized cohort in there? Or are they all by tenure? A second priority for 2020 is organizers learning from each other. So what I would like to do is set up a peer-to-peer learning format.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe actually that becomes part of a specialized cohort, that the specialized cohort has that experience. Okay, yes. A priority for 2020 is to have clarity about 10 organizers that I am building through. So a priority for 2020 is for me to have for my role for the director of staff formation to have a team of 10 organizers that I am planning with, training with, coaching, like they are in a, for lack of a better term, boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the ones that get the layer. They get the coaching. They get the shadowing. They get peer-to-peer learning. Maybe something else.
Okay.
Maybe a formation trip.
Okay.
Like a graduation formation trip. That's a specialized cohort. Now I think the beginners and, yeah, so that becomes, okay, the specialized cohort becomes the lead cohort. Yeah. Then, well, I don't know that, actually. Hold on. No, I don't want to commit to that. So,
okay.
There has to be a beginner's cohort, and they need to meet at least twice. Maybe three times, but I'm not convinced of that.
Okay.
The intermediate cohort should meet three times.
Okay.
The lead organizer cohort Let me just assume I'm going to keep it its own thing for now. So the lead organizer cohort should also meet three times. A priority for that cohort needs to be staff development infrastructure in their own federation.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the priorities. Another priority, yeah. The priority for all three of those cohorts needs to be institution. What it means to move an institution, like what that requires.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the nature of 2020, it also needs to include, like, voter work, institutional voter work, and
mm-hmm.
belong work. The executive directors, they have stated that they love the cohort spaces together. So they, now Ben and Joseph are also planning on doing two retreats a year with the directors. So this may become part of what they're doing, but for the sake of just naming priorities, I do think directors also need to have three cohort spaces next year.
So that's a priority?
Yep.
Because
they need to experience it so they can teach it.
Okay.
Yep.
Directors need three cohort. Is that three meetings?
It's like three retreats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not a meeting. It's a workshopping space.
Got it. Directors need three cohort retreat workshop spaces.
Yep. They need to in each other's work.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Got it. So I'm hearing,
I think
so it's good that you unpacked all of that. I just want to check back with you. There's two priorities I'm hearing clear right now. I want to check for understanding with you. One is the necessity for organizer cohorts, and the second is the necessity for director cohorts.
Yep.
Okay.
I also think there is a necessity for a specialized group, a more intensive group. Yeah. So what we've needed to do for quite some time is build the bench. We need to be building we need to deeply invest in a set of organizers and invest in them in a different way. So, for instance, what myself and Joseph and Eddie all went through was an organizer of color cohort. And it was
mm-hmm.
a year-long intensive leadership development opportunity for us. In addition, we had our cohorts. So it's
mm-hmm.
like a, and that is the space where I think they get the, like, creme de la creme. So they get peer-to-peer learning. They're traveling to each other's federations and shadowing each other. They're getting monthly coaching. And they're getting, I think it should be four, meeting four times. To do really intensive leadership formation.
Okay. So that would be a third priority, is the need for a secondary level of cohorts that are specialized. And the example you gave was organizers of color cohort. It wouldn't take them out of the mainstream cohort, but it would be like an add-on.
Yep.
Okay.
The other thing that I think just for the formation department at large is we need almost like a belong, it's almost like we need a person who is just working with organizers around the belong work. So what that would look like is, you know, learning how to approach a faith leader about starting belong circles, sitting with them at belong circles, doing leader belong facilitator trainings, like coordinating the belong curriculum, all that. Like, we need like a belong person.
So is that someone who would work, who would report to you and do that? Is this like a staff person for
you?
Yeah,
I think
so.
Who
does this?
I think so, yeah. So I made a leap in my mind and didn't tell you about it. Sorry. So the other thing that I'm thinking about as priorities for 2020 is, like, what should the structure be of the formation department? Let's say there is a chief formation officer, and let's imagine that that person is me. What do we need in the field to, like, lift the plane? So that's what my brain is thinking about when it comes to the belong person.
Okay.
You know, almost like JB is all things peacemakers. This is, you know, all things.
Okay. So what I'd like to suggest is that, you know, for today, you had mentioned that you'd like the takeaway of a handful of priorities for 2020, and we're unpacking that really, really nicely. In terms of fleshing them out, let's maybe think about using our next session to go deeper in that. At this point, with your agreement, maybe we just primarily identify what these priorities are, and then we, you know, really put some meat on the bones and with, you know, another session or in some other work time. But
love
I
it.
Hear you. Like, so far, and I'm just kind of I'm using your takeaway to frame how I'm summarizing this. Priorities for 2020, organizer cohorts, director cohorts, specialized cohorts for each. Do you see using specialized cohorts for both directors and organizers?
Nope.
Just organizers.
Yep.
Okay. And then I would say the fourth one, from what I heard from you, is designing the structure of the formation department. How would you do that if you were the CFO?
Yep. Exactly.
And that would include the notion of there being like a JB who champions peacemaking. You want to have somebody on staff who's championing the belong work and helping
to
equip the organizers to be able to go deep in that. Okay.
Exactly. It's like a belong coordinator.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So what other priorities do you think, based on your reflection, what else would you like to list? You have organizer cohorts, director cohorts, specialized cohorts for organizers, and also the development of the formation department from the perspective of a CFO. What other priorities do you think we need to list today for 2020?
Well, I know a question I need to list, which is, the role of caucuses. This last year we did race caucuses. I think it is important to have a time next year when race caucuses are together. So that is a priority. I also think in 2020 we need to introduce other affinity caucuses, you know, whether it's a Christian caucus that is sitting together and unpacking their privilege, a non-Christian caucus, maybe it's a queer caucus, immigrant caucus, but there needs to be, you know, we knew that people were not ready for that in 2019, but in 2020 we do need to take it to that next stage of bridging. So I think a priority is also, mm-hmm. yeah, introducing intersectional caucuses.
So affinity or intersectional?
I don't know. Ben uses the word affinity, but I don't know what that means.
Affinity typically means they have something common, like stay-at-home moms, you know, have a small group.
Got it. So, yes, it is affinity. Yes, it is affinity caucuses that are addressing intersectional forms of oppression.
Okay.
And what needs to be clarified is that gender, is that next year, is that gender, is that faith, is that status, like what is the priority for 2020? How it's different than cohorts is, so it's executive directors, organizers, all operations staff from across the entire state come together for 2 days to talk about.
It's a larger group and it's multiple organizations.
It's every federation plus PICO California and all staff from every federation.
In the caucus.
They all go to a caucus.
Gotcha. Okay. Whereas a cohort would be?
Only, the cohort is the beginning organizers, so anybody who's been in it less than 18 months comes together for 3 days to learn organizing 101.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, so would you call them both training events?
Yeah, they're all training events. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, going back to our progress here, priorities for 2020, organizer cohorts, director cohorts, specialized cohorts for organizers.
Cool. I need to add one.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. We need, So before we can do the affinity caucuses, we need to have like a statewide skill building training on multi-phase. Because that is essential to building in institutions. Like right now we have people trying to organize synagogues that don't even know what Torah means. It's terrifying.
Gotcha.
So yeah.
All right. So specialized cohorts for organizers was the third one. And then the fourth one, in summary, again, just kind of keeping us lifting these up to make sure you still want to keep them, is the development of the structure of the formation department from the perspective of a chief formation officer.
Yep.
And then your last one was introduce more affinity caucuses.
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly. Oh, I feel so much better. Okay, I'm just writing this down. Golly, I can't even tell you.
I will make this
recording. It's like I've been reborn.
I will send you this recording so you have it to also revisit.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Bless you. Okay. Perfect. Affinity caucuses and then multi-phase training. Great.
So keeping it at that 30,000 foot level, They can hit that 30,000 foot level. What else should there be as a priority, if anything else? It's okay. When you're done, but I just want to make sure to ask that question until you say you're done.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is the next step that you need to and want to take to move what you've determined today forward?
Yes. So, okay, I'm going to listen to this recording. I am going to write up, because that's for me always the next step. I always have to, like, write it down to really kind of get it in my mind. And then I would like to schedule our next call for us to kind of unpack that document more. So what I would love is if I could send you what I've written ahead of time, and you can ask me some questions about it during the call.
Yeah.
And come out of that next call ready to have the conversation with Ben.
Gotcha.
Yep,
when would you,
that feels good.
When are you ready to commit to listening to the recording? When can you do it in your schedule?
I can do it. You're going to send it to me today. It's possible, actually, I could do it today. Otherwise, I can do it next Friday, the 8th.
So 11-1 or 11-8?
Actually, no, I have to do it before then. I could listen to it on the drive. I need to listen to it by, oh, my God. Yes. I'm going to listen to it, and I'm going to have something written up by November 7th.
Notes by November 7th. So you're going to listen on 11 today or when?
Or Monday morning.
Okay. The 4th. Okay. You'll have it written by the 7th, and you're going to send it to me when? That day or?
Yes, the 7th.
Great. And do you have your calendar in front of you?
Mm-hmm.
You want to pick our next session?
Yeah, I don't know if a day would be long enough for you to review it if we could talk on the 8th.
Probably, because I'm tracking, you know, with the way you're using the terminology, and I think it'd be fine, but let's take a look at, let me take a look at what's going on that day, and I'll tell you. So if you're going to get it to me on the 7th, by end of business, is that what you're thinking?
I'll get it to you early morning. I'll probably get it to you way before then, but that's the latest, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, if I can have the 7th to look at it, I could be available to have that next session on the morning of Friday the 8th. Does that work, or where on the 8th would you like to do that? Okay.
Let's do that. Yeah, morning is best for me.
What time do you like?
Could we do 9:15 again?
Yes.
Okay. And we'll use the same number?
Yep, same number.
Great.
So just recapping our next steps, you're going to listen to the recording either today or Monday. You'll write up your notes and your plan, a draft of it, by the 7th so that you can send that to me the morning of the 7th or sooner, if you get done with it sooner.
Yep.
And then we'll talk on the 8th to unpack that document, sort of move the draft forward so that you're more prepared to have the conversation you need to have with Ben or your supervisor.
Exactly.
All right.
Awesome.
Well, good job.
Woo!
Good job.
Yeah, the best.
Tell me, would you please recap for me where you found the most value in our time together today? What are you taking away?
Yeah, the most value was in being able to just kind of think out loud and riff, and then listen to you repeating it back to me so I could write it down. So it was like I was able to just process, and then you were able to give it back to me clean.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good, good. So clarity is oftentimes a combination of a feeling and an action. And so being that we have a couple more minutes left, I just wonder if you'd like to explore a little bit. You have some tactical actions that have added to your clarity. How are you feeling about clarity?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for asking that. I am feeling... I am feeling aligned, like physically aligned, around the kind of buckets, both the structure, but also the content of priorities for 2020, where I recognize I feel really nervous. It might be insecure. I don't know. Is in having the conversation with Ben about Chief Formation Officer.
Mm-hmm.
And I have kind of two ways I go about these kinds of moments of determining, like, am I ready to go into the next phase of leadership?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I get really almost deferential. Like, if you believe in me, then I must be ready, right? Like, just a really feels to me young and needing validation. Confidence coming from validation versus confidence coming from within.
Mm.
And that's what I feel like I am teetering on right now.
Mm.
And I really want to walk into the conversation with Ben from a place of, like, confidence within. And one thing I've grown to become a lot more aware of with myself is like my wisdom is in my intuition, and my intuition I can only access from a more still kind of leaning back place. And often I think more like my conditioned response is to, like, drive, push, lean forward, almost like force versus letting something emerge. And yeah. So I guess that is, yeah, that's where I need to get to next, is confidence from within. And I think that will come from writing. Like, I'm on the edge of it. I can feel it. I can feel it. I think the other question I ask myself is, like, am I really ready? Do I really want that much responsibility? I think is another question.
Sure. Well, those are both excellent subjects that we could dive into in future coaching sessions if you want to. I think from our previous work together, I totally get why you're saying that, and I can see your progress along both those lines. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Thank you.
You know, today we started out with, you know, if you wanted to talk about reflecting on what you've learned in 2019 that would inform your ability to bring some leadership around the priorities for your department in 2020. And specifically, you wanted to take away some priorities for 2020 as a result of that exercise. And I think you just did a really great job bringing yourself to that and came up with some really great outcomes that I'm excited to see, you know, the result of what you listen to and make notes of. I think it's definitely shaping up, and it sounds like you feel like it is too.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel good. I feel a lot better than when we started.
Well, good.
This morning, when I first saw, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm tired. I've had the flu. I don't know if I can do this. And now I'm like, I feel like I'm in like tree pose, you know? I'm like in my power position.
Love it. Well, way to bring yourself to the session. That was really, really great. When we get off this call, I'll go about getting the recording to you. And
wonderful.
I'll look forward to seeing your writing.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.